Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I am joined today in Las Vegas by Ryan Mead. Ryan is the Director of Regulatory Compliance Studies at Loyola University Chicago School of Law. And we've already discovered I have a hard time saying the word Loyola. Ryan was nice enough to take some time out from the Compliance Institute, where he was just leading a session, to talk to us. And today we're going to talk about the subject of ethics and the compliance officer. So we're going to start today with a question. Is one of the things I've noticed through the years is on the SEC side, the general corporate side, people talk about compliance and ethics as sort of one thing, one practice that one person's responsible for. On the HCCA side, it tends to be much more compliance. Ethics doesn't come up. You know, medical ethics is something different often, but we don't hear those conversations as often. First of all, what's the history behind that?
Well, first off, thank you, Adam, for having me, and it's a great pleasure to be here at the Compliance Institute. I think it goes down to the sheer volume of regulations that the healthcare industry faces. And that has distorted the discussions that need to occur at or events like the Compliance Institute, where it tends to be a heavy discussion on keeping up with the law and regulations and enforcement by the government, sometimes giving short shrift to ethics. So healthcare, as everyone knows, is a highly regulated industry. If you just look at one federal program, the Medicare program, which most healthcare providers participate in, there are over 200,000 pages of rules associated with the Medicare program that you have to keep in mind and somehow comply with, and likely not able to comply with all of them. So when we're just looking at all of the so-called commands and rules that you have to follow in the healthcare industry, you can become completely consumed, understandably, with the sheer volume. But I think in this case, the HCCA community has a lot to learn from the SCCE community, where there's more of a balance of compliance and ethics. At the SCCE conferences, like you mentioned, they tend to speak of compliance and ethics in one breath. And I think that's an appropriate way to think of compliance. And I have written on this subject where I have tried to dissect what compliance means. And my view, and people might disagree with me, is that compliance is very hard to define, but it has three characteristics that to me seem self-evident. One is the law, the second are policies, the organization's policies, and the third is ethics. So to say compliance and ethics, I think is to draw is not drawing a good distinction, or it's not a distinction that should be drawn. Saying them in one breath is really where I think compliance is. So organizations need to comply with the law. They need to comply with their own policies, but they also have to instill a culture of ethics. And we hope that the law is ethical. It may or may not be, but we'll leave that to advocates to discern that. A compliance officer should strive to make sure that the policies the organization has both comply with the law and our ethical policies. But then what do you do when the law is silent and your policies are silent? How do you want your workforce to act? And how do you, as the compliance officer, how do you decide what's the right thing to do? Then that's where the realm of ethics comes in. So ethics is there throughout compliance. It's there in law, it's there in policies, and it's there most boldly when law and policies don't give you direction. I happen to think ethics in compliance is one of the most understudied areas of compliance. So in the healthcare arena, we have the same concerns about ethics as in the non-healthcare industries. It's just that we have a lot of rules and regulations, right, and it tends to preoccupy the discussion.
Well, I think the defense guys might and government contractors might argue they're in the same boat.
True.
But I think it makes some very good points. I mean, you know, first of all, any good laws at their roots are about doing the right thing. They're there to get people to do what they're supposed to, and ethics is about doing what they're supposed to. And there's also the issue of the fact with 200,000 pages, no one can know all that. Not even a good compliance officer would know all of them. Not even a very good compliance officer.
Not even a health law professor.
Exactly. So, but by the same token, right, wrong, and having a good understanding can be a great guide for it. So let's put on the shoes of a compliance officer who says, yes, absolutely, I want to own right, wrong, and get people thinking about we're an organization that does the right thing from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. Even if we're a nonprofit, we're still looking, you know, at the business unit and how it's going to operate. Where do you think somebody should start, whether it's to exist ownership or to start saying things like, hey, I want the code of conduct is the first place we're going to start. Mm-hmm. Or it's time for me to start adding an ethics component to compliance training, to the annual compliance training. Where do you think they should start thinking about diving in? Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to tackle something you said at the beginning is whether the compliance officer should own ethics. Or at least that's what I picked up. And I would use an analogy to parenting. Does a parent wants to make sure that their child is ethical and doing the right thing, but the parent doesn't own those decisions. At some point, once a child reaches the age of reason and is able to distinguish right from wrong, the child has to own and be accountable. The parent is there to help guide and instruct, and importantly in the family, there needs to be a culture developed that supports the child in growing and learning what's right or wrong. Now, some people might get upset with me in comparing the family dynamic to a corporation, but I don't think it's that different. A family is an organic structure, and a corporation is an organic structure made up of humans. So you have the compliance officer, who might even be the compliance and ethics officer. I don't think that they own ethics, but they do own the fostering of a good culture. They're not alone. Leadership needs to foster that culture, tone at the top, and making sure that people see the leadership doing the right thing. But the compliance officer there is sort of the leaven to try and make sure that there are values represented in the workforce and promoted to the workforce. If you want to look at something very practical related to ethics, I think go back to the code of conduct that organizations should have as part of their compliance program, or corporations should simply adopt as good corporate practices. When I first started working with compliance programs more than 20 years ago, people did not quite know what the code of conduct should look like. And I remember the very first code of conduct I helped write was very detailed on
just what, slightly less than the 200,000.
Yes, pages. Yes. Well, to be honest, yes, it was actually about 50 pages as a code of conduct. That was, now maybe we didn't know what we were doing back then. That's not a good code of conduct. It was too prescriptive because it was talking about all sorts of billing rules. Now you look at codes of conduct, and codes of conduct are much more focused on values, character, virtues that are trying to be fostered. And some people might look at those codes of conduct and say, how does that guide me? You know, that's too theoretical. But it's those principles, just like parenting. Mm-hmm. You can't anticipate every situation a child's going to encounter, or any human is going to encounter, any workforce member is going to encounter. But if they have good principles, then they can apply those principles. So now I shudder to look at the codes of conduct that I helped write 20 years ago. Field of compliance has advanced so much now, it may or may not be cognizant that it's doing ethics inside those codes of conduct. I think the best codes of conduct are short, they're value based and they're value driven, they're mission driven. That way you can apply them to many facts. In the study of ethics, there's often a distinction between ethical theory and then what's called applied ethics. And that's where, as we study ethics and compliance more, I think what we're going to find is that although meetings such as the Compliance Institute tend to focus heavily on the laws and regulations, we are doing a lot of ethics, we're just not talking a lot about it. The organizations that have moved to mission-driven codes of conduct and value-based codes of conduct are doing it. And that's probably, for compliance professionals, that we need to talk more about it and highlight it.
So, as we start to run out of time, let me ask you a question. Let me pretend I'm a compliance officer. I'm struggling mightily with an understaffed department, just trying to stay on top of those 200,000 pages. Mm-hmm. That person likely is hearing this and saying, well, that's well and good, but I really don't have the time, the bandwidth, whatever, to start looking to how I'm going to communicate about the code of conduct. We've had one, people have it, it's fine. Well, I don't need to push this out more. I just need to, my biggest problem is they're not even following the basic rules. What would you say to that person that basically says, no, you can't afford not to get involved in this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that, and this is a dilemma that many compliance officers find themselves in. They are so busy putting out fires that they're not really realizing why the fires are occurring. And to try to get ahead of the fires. Now, what I usually tell folks is you have to deal with a fire. You don't want to ignore that. But you need to have enough resources to get out in front of it. I think the dilemma that you described often comes down to the compliance officers not having enough budget or enough people. And it's easier for me to advise than for a compliance officer to raise their hand to the leadership and the board and say, I'm drowning and I need more help. But they have to do that. And because you can't afford to ignore discussing basic principles and ethical conduct with your workforce. Yes, you have to deal with the problems you have, but you're just going to have more and more problems if you're not dealing with that. Again, it comes back down to a culture question. But you're right. I think this is something that compliance officers, they often find themselves in. They're afraid to speak up. They know that their company might be short on resources. But if they don't speak up, their company might not exist anymore. So it's ignoring basic points on values and principles is something that will end up coming back to bite the organization in a very bad way.
Yeah, and I have to say, I agree completely. And I think one of the other things for people to think about is ethical issues often end up being compliance issues over time. What we think of as right, somebody doesn't eventually do, mm-hmm. and then you need a law, or the world makes a law for it. Somebody, you look at sort of even farther afield, the area of social responsibility, a lot of those issues end up becoming compliance issues over time as public expectations for behavior rise. And I think it's good for people to be thinking in those terms and looking to the future and looking at what's the difference between right and wrong and doing the right thing and knowing that that may be both protecting your organization while you're also simultaneously doing right thing that people can feel good about doing. Well, Ryan, I hope you felt good about doing this podcast with us.
No, thank you, Adam.
I know I did enjoyed it a lot. Thank you for being here. Thanks for participating in the Compliance Institute and speaking. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.